This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We're delighted, Jono,
yes,
to hand over the reins of the show to our wonderful newsreader, David Allen.
Yes.
Who's going to be interviewing a very special guest this morning. So, Dave, over to you, and welcome to Geraldine Turner.
Thank you, boys. Hello. Our next guest is theatrical royalty. She's been in show business for 6 decades, and in that time, she's created more roles on our stages than any actress in Australian history. She's an activist, a performer, a director, a writer, part of a small cast of stars who launched Australian music theatre onto the world stage and gave it a voice. She's here today to talk about her newly published memoirs, Turner's Turn. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Geraldine Turner. How are you, Geraldine?
I'm really fine, thank you. Although it's a bit cold here this morning, but is it cold in Melbourne?
Oh yes, absolutely. We're feeling the same cold snap as you, but is it snowing there? I heard there was going to be frost across the Southern Highlands this weekend.
Yeah, probably frost, but no snow. I wish it were snowing. I love it when it snows because it's sort of like a present for being so cold.
You know? Exactly. But we're going to heat our listeners up this morning by talking about your new book, Turner's Turn, which I have read, and it is just, congratulations, it really is a cracking read.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. A lot of people are saying that, and a lot of people are saying they pick it up and they can't put it down and they read it in one sitting.
Yes.
Which is astonishing.
Now,
I'm really thrilled that they sort of, you know, I guess, I've never written a book, so when you write a book, you do it with all best intentions, of course, and try your best to put together the story and all of that, but then you have to put it out in the world and let it go, and you have no idea how people are going to respond to it. So, you know, I was really nervous because I decided very early on when I was going to write a memoir that I didn't want to write and then I did this and then I did this. You know, I'm so bored by those sorts of memoirs. And I also didn't really want to throw anyone under the bus. So I've tried hard to be fair about everybody in my life. But I decided I was going to write a book, that's my dog barking, about about my life and my career and to weave my life through my career. So that's what I decided to do. But then I didn't know how people would respond to that or whether they would judge me or whatever, you know. But they haven't judged me, I don't think. So, well, maybe some people will, you know. I've had that all throughout my life anyway, so being an actor, so.
Well, I was astonished by the lack of proverbial Vaseline on the lens. You are very hard-hitting, not only about your own career and the Australian industry, but about Australian society at large. I mean, a vast amount of the book is about your family. Was it difficult delving into so much of your own private life like that?
Yeah, I guess it was. People always ask, was it cathartic? It wasn't cathartic because all of these things have always lived with me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I had a difficult childhood and an overbearing mother and domestic violence in the family and a brother who killed a small child and like a lot of working-class family that were always fighting with holes in the walls from punch-ups from my brothers, and I had 4 older brothers. And I didn't really feel much support from my family about my career, except my mother, of course, who was pushing me to be a star because that's what she wanted for me. But so I decided to write all of that, and I'm glad I have. It wasn't difficult. It's really strange because I'm one of those writers who sits and it just vomits out of me. You know what I mean? And
I do.
And then, yes, I don't have writer's block ever when I'm writing a play or anything. It vomits out of me. And then I go to bed, then I get up the next day and I read what I've written and I think, oh, well, that's shit. And I cut most of it. But there's always something you can keep from the day before. And so, you know, that's my advice to anyone who wants to write. Just get something down on the page for the day. Just write something, whether it's crappy or not. And then the next day you read through it and you edit and you throw out some things, but there's always something to keep. There's a germ of an idea that's good.
Mm.
And, so that's my advice to people.
Now, I obviously am quite intimately acquainted with your career anyway, but for those of our poor unfortunate listeners who may not be, I just want to run through a few moments in the bio that just truly are a little bit mind-blowing. So I wanted to talk to you quickly about a few of those. Gough Whitlam, former Australian Prime Minister Gough Whitlam, drank a toast of champagne from your slipper.
From one of my shoes in my dressing room once. Yes, I know. I know, it's astonishing, isn't it?
Now, that's just mind-blowing to me. These days, you might see an awkward selfie of Tina Arena with Scott Morrison, you know, looking uncomfortable. But you don't hear of that kind of thing anymore.
No, I know. And you know, I adored Gough and Margaret. And they were great lovers of the theatre and of the arts, as you know.
If only there were more politicians like that these days.
Oh, I know. I mean, Whitlam started the Australia Council and started all that thing in the 70s that put a lot of, I think, tax breaks into the Australian film industry. And wow. So the Australian film industry had a great resurgence in the 1970s because of Whitlam. We don't have politicians. I mean, the opposition forgot to, they left off the arts minister from their,
yes,
the opposition arts minister from their portfolios the other day. They forgot about the arts. Funny about that, isn't it?
We have two arts ministers now, would you believe it?
I know, it's good. I think Tony Burke will do really well. I think he's a good bloke, you know.
Now, on the subject of arts and activism around the arts, now, you were, correct me if I'm wrong, president of the Media Entertainment Arts Alliance, the Artists Union, for a long time.
Well, yeah, it was for about six or 7 years, and it wasn't called MIA then, it was called Actors Equity.
But you bought the building they now occupy in Sydney, and you were instrumental
I wish I actually owned it. Yeah, no, I signed the form.
You raised wages for Australian artists. You brought them up to a standard of living.
Yes, and also we were the first actors union in the world to bring in superannuation, and I was very proud of that whilst
yes.
I was president. That was a great thing to do as well, because up until that point, people thought it was all too difficult because they were such small jobs and everywhere, and how would you have a super fund and all of that. But we organised all of that and started it. As I say, the first actors union in the world to do that. So very proud of that.
Yes. Well, rightly so. Another kind of, you throw this away in the book, it's very briefly mentioned, but people would best know you from major productions like Chicago, Anything Goes, but you've been in more original Australian musicals than any other performer. Is that right?
It is right. And
wow.
I think I only worked that out a couple of years ago. There was that big book written by Peter Pinney and, forgive me, I can't remember the other person. It was all about Australian musical theatre. And we worked out, I went to the launch of that, and we were talking about all the musicals I'd done. And we worked out that, yeah, I'd done more than anybody, which is
wow.
astonishing, really. Yeah, really astonishing. I've done a lot of works. And, you know, the problem with Australian musicals, particularly, I think, is that there aren't the budgets that there are in New York or London. And
yes.
So, you know, it's usually a small company putting it on, or maybe the Sydney Theatre Company or the Theatre Company or something like that has some money in it. And there's a set budget. And so you open with flaws in the show. There's no out-of-town tryout.
Yep.
There's no budget for rewrites. There's, you know, there's no budgets for throwing out a song and putting in a new song and orchestrating it, you know. So what happens usually is the show goes on, it opens, it goes on, and then it's never done again because there are flaws in it. Not so with things like Summer Rain by Nick Enright and Terry Clark, of course.
It's had years to develop.
Had a bit of a life. Pardon?
It's had years to develop, of course.
Yes, and that's had a few runs, and companies still do it, so that's a great thing. There are a few shows that exist like that, but there's no show that's kind of taken off and gone to the world. Not really. I mean, some jukebox shows, I suppose, if you
if you count jukebox
and
shows
like that. But not original scores, no.
Now, Geraldine, Turner's Turn, where can people buy a copy?
Oh, gee. I think they can buy a copy in most good bookshops, and most good bookshops would order one in for you if they don't have it. or on, you know, Booktopia, Amazon, all of those places, online. My friend Les McDonald, who owns the bookshop in Darlinghurst in Sydney, will send them anywhere in Australia, I think, free postage too.
That's an iconic queer business, if ever there was one. Now, Geraldine, I could talk to you for hours, but we've got to wrap up. It has been wonderful talking to you. Turner's Turn, written by Geraldine Turner, Australian theatrical royalty. Thank you so much for joining us, Geraldine. It's been wonderful listening to you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. I've had a great time talking to you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.